The Grammy Awards was last Sunday. I didn't get to watch it, but I heard it was a decent show. Instead, I'm only going to be focusing on the winners and who got snubbed. I should also add that I'm using a Grammy list from the New York Times so that I have the complete list. Feel free to use any list that you find on the internet. If you Google Grammy winners 2019, that should lead you to any complete list. So let's not waste any more time and start off with Album of the Year. Album of the Year went to Kacey Musgraves' Golden Hour. She was my second pick. My first pick was Janelle Monáe with Dirty Computer. Daggone shame that Janelle Monáe didn't win any award, because I really liked that album, of course. But Kacey Musgraves' Golden Hour, I've been wanting her to have such a fantastic year, and 2018 was probably it. Or in this case, 2019 will probably be, but... And I hope they release Rainbow. I heard that was performed at the Grammy Awards. I hope that's really the song that has her on the radio, because right now she's barely on country radio. And most of the country radio is lukewarm John Mellencamp type of country music, if you can even call it country music. Like, I'm not kidding when I say that her 2013 album, Same Trailer, Different Park, is one of my favorite albums from this decade. So, I've had high expectations from her for a while. Her previous album, Pageant Material, it was still great, but not as good as Same Trailer, Different Park. But then again, it's hard to top such an excellent album. And I would say the same thing with Golden Hour. I still found it to be great, but it doesn't top Same Trailer, Different Park. And this was her most experimental album. It was an emo psych pop country album that I'm sure critics from Complex and Pitchfork had their minds boggled around having to review and give such a high rating, like they never heard of stuff like this. But then again, they barely talk about country music as it is in their outlet. So if this is the way for critics to get themselves familiar to country music besides Kacey Musgraves, then let's get going. So, Song of the Year and Record of the Year went to Childish Gambino, This Is America. I mean, that was who I picked, and I stand by that. I just love nearly everything about it. The oily synths in the chorus, the guitar work in the pre-chorus, the rap-sung vocals from Childish Gambino, the ad-libs that were uncredited, and I believe that was from... Some of the ad-libs were from Young Thug, if I'm not mistaken. It also won Best Music Video. That was a no-brainer, but for Song of the Year and Record of the Year says a lot, since I understand that the music video is more impactful than having just the song itself. But at the same time, those elements that I mentioned, I found those to be more memorable than the other songs that were listed for Record of the Year or Song of the Year, and most importantly, the message too. Best New Artist went to Dua Lipa. I don't have much to say about her other than her two songs, IDGAF and New Rules. I found them to be relatively decent, but I'm not really interested in reviewing other songs from her. I personally would have picked her. She was probably one of the few artists that I got to review an album on. her self-titled, which I found to be a solid piece of work. The only other artist that I reviewed on this list was Georgia Smith, and she was okay. Her album was okay. Lost and Found. If you like Aaliyah, if you like Amy Winehouse, then check her out. But I guess my issue with her was that she wears her influences on her sleeve. She's like an influence between Amy Winehouse and Lauryn Hill. Best pop solo performance went to Lady Gaga with Joanne. I wasn't the biggest fan of Joanne. Her album, it was okay. And even the song itself, Joanna, Where Do You Think You're Going? It was just okay, but I would have gone with Ariana Grande's God Is a Woman as best pop solo performance. One of my favorites from 2018. But she did win best pop album, which I had her winning that by a mile, because she has practically claimed her throne as the pop princess by now. Excuse me, it's best pop vocal album. The competitors that she had to face, all of those albums I either didn't listen to, in the case of Shawn Mendes, and in the case of Kelly Clarkson and Pink, I just found their singles to be bland, that I was not invested in listening to the rest of their albums. And the other two people that are listed on here that whose album I listened to, Camila Cabello, her album sucked and her auto-tune drenched vocals are terrible, and Taylor Swift's album Reputation sucked. I was surprised that the Grammy night was a night where we didn't hear much from Taylor Swift, because we're always used to hearing something from her. Some performance or her winning an award, but I believe this was the only award, only nomination that she received. So Ariana Grande, man, that album, it was a solid album, Sweetener. I gave it a review and I stand by my thoughts on it. Best pop duo / group performance went to Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. I won't put much time into this. I wasn't really invested in this category just because I found the picks to be either underwhelming, forgettable, or terrible. But Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, Shallow, I probably would have given it to them, because Dave Cobb had involvement in the production, and I like Dave Cobb's work. Best country album went to Kacey Musgraves with Golden Hour. That was my first pick, and Chris Stapleton was my second pick, but I'm glad Golden Hour won over all of them. Best rap performance was a tie between J-Rock, Kendrick Lamar, Future, and James Blake with King's Dead, and Anderson .Paak with Bubblin'. Bubblin' by Anderson .Paak would have been my pick, but why? Why would there be a tie between him and J-Rock's song? I would have been okay with a tie between Anderson .Paak's Bubblin' and, say, Sicko Mode or even Drake's Nice for What, but King's Dead was just terrible. Not just because of Future's lazy lyrics, but because J-Rock's performance on that was underwhelming. Kendrick Lamar's was fine, and I didn't mind James Blake on it, but both J-Rock and Future just really toned the hype of that song itself. While Anderson .Paak's Bubblin' was, man, that was a mad hype. Just braggadocia all over. I loved his performance. I love how engaging he is in general. It's daggone shame that Bubblin' wasn't on Oxnard. I wish it was. Even if Oxnard was still a great album. Best rap song collaboration went to Childish Gambino with This Is America. That was my pick, and I stick by that. But I'm wondering, why do they put Christina Aguilera in Goldings Like I Do? Is there anyone that knows that song? Ugh. Best rap song went to Drake with God's Plan. A song that I'm just rather indifferent about. I just found it to be relatively okay. My first pick would have been either Lucky You or Lucky You by Eminem and Joyner Lucas, or Travis Scott, Drake, Big Hawk, and Swae Lee with Sicko Mode. Because with Lucky You, it was just bar after bar after bar from both of them. I love the intensity behind it. I just love the overall masculine vibe, the masculine type of intensity that has kind of been missing within the mainstream. I know that this song didn't exactly gain the type of traction on radio, but within the streaming audience and with physical sales, Eminem's Kamikaze, I'm sure, garnered quite that type of traction. But with this song in particular, I think this was like one of the highlights from Kamikaze. But as for Sicko Mode, it was this psych, trippy type of track that I wouldn't have really expected from him. Granted, I'm not the biggest Travis Scott fan, but his album Astroworld blew me away. Just because of how anthemic it was, even for someone who is not exactly known for the bars, he really put quite the performance and the production in songs like this, or with Stop Playing With God, or Stargazing. So I have to give credit where credit is due, and I'll even give credit to Drake for having a decent performance on here as well, even if he did say some corny stuff like I'll take half a Xan 13 hours in Japan, when that's a freaking prescription. It ain't like he consuming drugs like them other rappers. Now, best rap album was quite the controversial one, because Cardi B won it. Cardi B did not have the best album of that list. I previously reviewed it. I gave it a 7 out of 10, but she did not have the better album than Nipsey Hussle or Pusha T. I said Pusha T last week on Instagram, and I'm still going to say Pusha T, Pusha T, Pusha T. He was in my top 10 of 2018, and that's not just rap albums. That's albums within 2018. And I've listened to over 150 albums. You're not going to tell me that Cardi B's album was better than Pusha T's album. I don't care that Cardi B put out an Instagram post telling people how hard she made the album, or how much work that she had to put in while she was pregnant. Okay, that's fine. I'm sure that people within this category worked hard too. I reviewed Nipsey Hussle's album and Pusha T's album as well, and I gave them higher ratings. Aside from that, there was some controversy surrounding her and Nicki Minaj, because Nicki Minaj, it's been about a decade since she has had a career, since she's had this career, and she hasn't won Best Rap Album. And Cardi B, she's obviously the first woman to win Best Rap Album. And folk are flaming Nicki Minaj because she didn't win it and Cardi B did. But Nicki Minaj fans are talking about Nicki Minaj winning Best Female Rapper year after year after year after year at the BET Awards. So it's just bumping heads, and it's just something that I'm not really finding entertaining, but just an excuse to bump heads with one another. Best metal performance went to High on Fire by Electric Messiah. I would have went with Between the Buried and Me with Condemned to the Gallows, but I got no issue with that. Best Rock Album went to Greta Van Fleet, From the Fires. First off, this list is already messed up. Alice in Chains, Rain or Fog, granted, I wasn't big on that. It's probably the most rock type of album that's on here, because Fall Out Boy, Mania, forget it. That wasn't even a rock album. It was some dance, electro type of stuff. And the same goes to Weezer. And Ghost's prequel, why is it in the rock category when it should be in the metal category? And Greta Van Fleet, I get that they're energetic and that they're popular, but they weren't exactly well received because they're practically Led Zeppelin knockoffs. But this whole category is just a mess. Best R&B performance went to Her with Best Part featuring Daniel Caesar. That probably would have been my first pick. Granted, I also like Toni Braxton's Long As I Live, and even the Carters' Summer. But I'm glad Her is getting it because I found her album to be a solid piece of work, including this song, which was also on Daniel Caesar's album. In Daniel Caesar's album Freudian, I did get to listen to it. It was pretty good. Best traditional R&B performance went to Leon Bridges with Bet Ain't Worth a Hand. That was my first pick, and I'm glad that he got it. Even though I wasn't big on his album Good Thing, I found this to be one of the better songs off that album. Best R&B song went to Ella May with Boot Up, which, no complaints here. I wasn't really big on this category. If Ella May didn't win, I would have wanted Toni Braxton, Long As I Live, get it. But the song itself was a sweet and gentle type of song that definitely was in everyone's ears. Let me take that back. I would have also wanted Childish Gambino's Feels Like Summer. Good vibes. Best Urban Contemporary album went to The Carters' Everything Is Love. This category isn't exactly the best either. I wasn't too invested in it. And I was not wanting The Carters' Everything Is Love to win. After reviewing it, I was just disappointed in that album. And I know a whole lot of folk that got to see The Carters on tour. So I'm probably a lot different than them when it comes to the liking of their music. But Everything Is Love, the problem with that album was it was the lyrical content that came with it. I found them to be, they framed themselves as if they were bigger than say the Louvre. Like, everything has to be big. I hated the song Ape Shit. I hated the song Friends. It seemed like they were going way overboard when it came to the trap production, which wasn't good to begin with. If I would have wanted a trap producer, it wouldn't have been Pharrell for Ape Shit. Like, the best songs off that album were when they were relaxed, like the song Summer, when it didn't take much to execute. Or even the song Black Effect. I happen to like that. And the song Boss was my favorite though. But I just found overall that the type of concepts that they went for on their solo projects, in the case with Beyonce, Lemonade, and with Jay-Z 444, it was all lost and gone on Everything Is Love. And Best R&B album went to Her, no complaints there. Toni Braxton and Leon Bridges was on here too, but I wasn't exactly big on their albums to begin with. And why did they put a live album of PJ Morton on this list? I like PJ Morton's album Gumbo, but the live version did not need to be put on here. I can think of three albums that I would have wanted in that category over Gumbo Live Unplugged. And once again, this is no disrespect to Gumbo Live. It's just that I'm wondering who puts a live version of an album as a nominee. But here are the three that come to mind that could have replaced Gumbo Live. And that is The Internet with Hive Mind, there's Blood Orange with Negro Swan, or Janelle Monáe with Dirty Computer. Best country solo performance went to Kacey Musgraves with Butterflies. This is just one of several songs that I liked on Golden Hour, and I'll just leave it at that. Best duo / group country performance went to Dan and Shay with Tequila, a song that had to grow on me at first, but I just found it to be relatively decent, something nice to add to their discography. It's not my favorite song from them, but it's still worth listening to. It's a rather nostalgic tale of heartbreak and regret. But other than that, if I would have picked anybody else other than Dan and Shay for that award, it would have gone to maybe the Brothers Osborne. I'm sorry, just the other people on this list. Like, why did they have Bebe Rexha and Florida Georgia Line on here? That's not even a country song. I don't get it. And okay, to be fair, they had 50 weeks on the country charts on the Billboard. But the bar's just so low to have actual country instrumentation, have something twangy, when we're lucky if we get that. We can't even get Kacey Musgraves on the radio. So, and Maren Morris, I can barely even call her country at this point, even if Vince Gill is featured on the song. Best country song went to Kacey Musgraves with Space Cowboy. And that was my first pick because I just love the play on words. And when it comes to songs, if you see best country song, best rap song, best pop song, it's usually awarded to the songwriters. The focus is on who wrote the best song. And the combination of Kacey Musgraves, Shane McNally, and Luke Laird is a dangerous combination because they're gonna write some potent songs. But I will also acknowledge Cole Swindle for his song Break Up in the End. That was a potent song as well. It can be a tearjerker for some. And 4 years ago, I would have never said any of this about Cole Swindle because having listened to his first album, I was just disgusted. The production was terrible and flat, generic. But to see the evolution that has come within the last 4 or 5 years is amazing. So I gotta give credit where credit is due. Best American Root Song went to The Joke by Brandi Carlile, Dave Cobb, Phil Hanseroth, and Tim Hanseroth. My first pick was Build a Bridge by Jeff Tweedy and Mavis Staples. Brandi Carlile's song was good. And I say that because the production came from Dave Cobb, so anything that touches Dave Cobb's hands is going to be a gem. But at the same time, I love the chemistry that came with Mavis Staples and Jeff Tweedy. So, and Mavis Staples' album was one of my favorite projects from 2017. The two have worked together on past projects, And I'm glad that they've maintained that bond so they can keep making great music. And here's a category that is just laughable at this point, because for best reggae album, it's Sting and Shaggy with 44876. And it's just laughable because it just seems that every year they always have to add a Marley into the category. And not to down the Marley legacy, but it just seems like the Recording Academy just decided that, you know what, we're just gonna add a Marley or two in here, even if the album came out like 2 or 3 years ago. And they gotta add someone popular that is somewhat popular within the U.S. that can sing reggae. So they just added Sting and Shaggy, even though that album, which I did not listen to, was hated by every critic. And this won the freaking best reggae album. Man, no wonder the Recording Academy is hated by the rock community, the hip-hop community. It's also why Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and Childish Gambino decided not to perform. Pharrell Williams won Producer of the Year. Man, to me, he has had hits and misses. For the hits, I'll go with Ariana Grande, Sweetener. Sure, there was a low points on that album, like with the Light Is Coming on that album, but there were highs like Borderline and REM. But the highs I would give would be for his own personal work on NERD. But the low for an album that he was incredibly involved in was Justin Timberlake's album. Because, man, that album was awful. If you're going to make an Americana album, you don't hire Pharrell for that job. And that's it. So, thanks for sticking around, and take care.